Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
This is episode 63 of the Rusak Gamer podcast. I swear to God, we really intended to run a game tonight. It's called Wizard Cormacur and was created by the gang at Bully Pulpit. But things got away from us and we ended up running out of time. Todd wanted some input on changes he's made to his Burning Empire scenario for Gen Con this year, so we discussed that in another of our side hops. Also, Jeff Wax is poetic about the Happy Jacks RPG podcast. Check the show notes for links to Wizard Cormacur and Happy Jacks. Now, you can send us email at roy@rusakgamers.com, or you can send us voicemail 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Don't forget to stop by our RPGCrosstalk.com forum. Just scroll down to the Rusak Gamer section. Also, join us at the Gen Con Podcast Social. It's on Thursday night at the Rock Bottom Brewery. Get your tickets at GenConSocial.com. Links to our archives and more can be found at podcast.rusakgamers.com. Enjoy the show.
Okay, we're recording. We're going to see if it works this time. And I'm Roy. I'm Jake.
Are we going counterclockwise or clockwise?
I have no idea. It's been a while
since people have been here.
Make it something really change.
Usually, okay, we'll do like a zigzag.
Yeah.
All right, start again.
I'm Roy.
I'm Jason.
Oh, I'm Jeff.
Did you miss me?
And
I'm Todd, and no, I didn't.
Oh. And making his triumphant re-debut,
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Joe's back.
Hey, Joe.
I'm Joe Vaught.
Well, I return that triumphant?
No.
Makes me sad.
We missed Joe.
Yeah, listen to the last game, man. You need me and Todd here to drive the game.
What game?
I got so many.
You need me. You need the three of us here. You know, did you all listen to the podcast last
time? Oh, it was very complimentary.
Yes, of the three of us.
Yeah. It was very complimentary, because the couple of weeks we've had to deal with one game. Well, the week before that, we played Munchkin. And that's about as excited as it's gotten.
We had a great night playing Munchkin, too.
We had a lot of fun playing Munchkin.
Yeah, did anybody throw dice? Or
nobody threw dice. No,
really?
No.
I'm sure the volatile Munchkin people weren't here.
No, they weren't. And Jason, had you played Munchkin before? Okay, you had played a couple of times. Bill had never played before.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not Munchkin until somebody throws all their cards
on
the table and says, "Screw you guys!" Gets up and leaves the table.
I'm done.
So,
that
was awesome.
That was... the game just wasn't going well. So, yeah, Joe, it was great, because we were sitting here for about an hour and a half trying to get the game going, and I look up and nobody's having fun.
How could you tell?
Because I wasn't having fun, and I recognized myself.
Is this the first game you've looked up in?
Yeah. When the opening... I don't ever look up. When you come in on a week...
I try not to.
And the DM goes... All right, y'all ready? I'm just not feeling it.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm glad you all came, but I'm just not feeling it.
What do y'all want to do? What's your favorite book?
Seen any good movies lately?
Brave.
Is that good?
Brave is really good.
Brave is good. Yeah, you need to take your daughter. I thought you were taking her to see it Saturday. That's why you. That's why you blew us off.
I was going to take her to see it Sunday. No, Saturday was something else. No, Saturday. I had other things that I had to do.
Yeah.
Sunday, I was going to go with you when you called.
I know. Well, I thought you were going Saturday. That's why you didn't go with us.
I didn't go Saturday because we had always planned on going to Ren Faire on Sunday.
You know what clears all this up?
What?
Emails.
Oh, don't give me that.
Sunday?
To see
Ren Faire.
The Brave.
Oh, okay. You went Sunday to see Brave.
Yeah. I went Saturday to the Ren Faire.
All I know is I was a prince for a day. It was great.
You were prince for a day?
I was.
He had a little pee on him.
I got a little pee on me.
He had a little pee on him.
Nice.
Who had a little pee on?
Me.
Oh.
Yeah, Jason got to be...
I got drunk through the mud with a girl. That's what you call good stuff.
Not in the mud.
2 years ago, I kissed her husband.
Jason.
Hey, you can have it.
Slap it.
I don't think I'd brag about it.
All right, well, here, I need your...
Okay, hold on. All right. So, this is going to be a short podcast tonight, and we're going to be talking with Todd, who has made some changes to the... Would you quit dragging your fingers across the table?
Crap all over the table.
Well, you're the one in there eating stuff over it. Anyways, he's made some changes to his game that he's going to be running at Gen Con, and he wants to discuss them with us.
Yes.
Because it's all about Todd.
It's all about
Todd. No! It's generally all about Jeff.
What?
Oh! We got a SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's hard. It's the Jeff
show. We're on a short podcast.
That's the price you pay for having someone there to drive the game.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Joe, getting back to it.
Yeah, enough about Jeff. What do you think about Jeff?
Who's Jeff do you want to talk about?
Character development.
Roy's short podcast.
Character development should have gone much better and had everyone who did character development keep showing up. And people who drive the games usually. Yes, I'm looking at Jeff. Had been there, it would have been a little
easier.
And not really understanding the fate dice mechanic to be able to do good compels. Now, we did get some feedback.
Oh, when he bitched about you not being there, and he was going to send you emails and yell at you because you weren't there and you know how to play fate, and it's all your fault.
It is all your fault.
It generally started with F Joe.
If Joe. Not F Joe. If
no,
Joe.
If.
Right, right.
The only time I played Fate was the one game that I ran. That's what you call it? Spirit of the Century in the Archives? That's the only time I've ever played Fate at all.
It wasn't even Spirit of the Century, though, was it?
Right, no.
It was Strands of Fate.
Strands of Fate.
So it's named wrong, listeners, if you're trying to find it. And, I mean, I've spent a lot of time with the book, but Strands of Fate, not Fate. Fate, not the type.
Well,
of
Dresden isn't fate, fate. Fate.
No,
it's not fate, fate.
Well, anyways, we got feedback from Dan and Alex at RPGpodcast.com. I got some email from the guys over at Knights of the Night, feeling very sorry that our Dresden Files game died.
Oh, so it's dead.
Oh,
wiped out.
It. Life support. I mean, I think we could come back to it. It's gonna need to be restarted. I mean, I think the character concepts are for the most part sound. It's gonna need reworking in order to make it a decent game.
Speaking of podcasts, I want to mention something real quick. There is a podcast. There's a bunch of gaming actual play and gaming podcasts on Stitcher.
Oh yeah.
Except us. We're not on Stitcher. But one of the ones I do listen to is Happy Jack's RPG podcast. They've been around for a while. They do a lot of their own music. They perform, and it's a really good podcast. A lot of fun to listen to. Reminds me a lot of.
Oh, it is not family friendly.
No. I didn't say it was, but it's fun to listen to. But it reminds me a lot of Dragon's Inn in tone and just sort of
really
joke. Yeah. I mean, they got more people, but yeah. And I think their songs are really good. They're pretty funny. And they're very talented people there. Oh, wait. I don't want this to start up. But let me get to the point. No one will move on. Sorry. Their last episode, Season 8, Episode 2, they take an email. They talk from this guy, and ordinarily I'm not real big on people's gaming stories, even my own, unless they're very short and pithy. But this was a... Yeah, I know. How ironic. So they... they're telling the story about this guy, this game this guy played in when he was in high school, and it's very funny. I don't want to spoil any of the kickers in it, but it's, if you like Drizzt or Drizzt, however you want to pronounce it, both are acceptable, I guess, and you like people's gaming stories, give their podcast a listen if you haven't. Happy Jack's RPG podcast. I found the last episode really entertaining. Anyway, I just want to share that. So, Todd.
Wow.
Okay, so.
Thanks for the plug.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I'll put the link in the show.
Yeah.
When we did the Burning Empires before, we talked about, I think I put in one belief. Does that sound right? Did I put in one belief?
You provided a belief.
Yeah, and we talked about putting in two beliefs and one specifically aimed at other people.
And the player would get to decide a third one.
If they chose to.
Yeah.
So I went through and did that. I'm in training all week, so it is.
Obviously you've got nothing.
Yeah, it is thoroughly boring in my training classes. So, I just opened up my book and started writing. I changed some of the characters around, too. I still have a government representative. I have a business representative, but I made him more of a speculator or an entrepreneur than anything else. Probably more of a speculator is kind of what I had in mind for him. A psychologist, still. An anvil lord and a hammer lord. Two separate ones.
So you removed
Forged. I had a forged.
But do you have a religious leader now?
No, I got rid of the religious leader altogether.
Okay, so that's where the other one... Because you had two religious leaders.
Well, I had the religious leader, and then I had the itinerant priest that was on the planet. I made the itinerant priest a figure of note now. So he's going to be mine.
Okay. So, because you get that feeling, I think, from the two times I, got to play through it, that you had specific things you wanted that guy to do.
Well, I thought my idea with the itinerant priest was that he would be more of a, reaching loggerheads, but I think to maintain a difference between them that all these people are coming in and maybe the planet's an ally, maybe the planet's an adversary, who knows.
So why the two lords?
Something one of you said is to not make him too powerful. I'm in charge and that's it, right?
Like annihilate the planet.
Right, yeah. And to make those two not necessarily cross purposes with each other, but having cross purposes. Not necessarily at each other, but... And you can see that by...
In the beliefs.
Okay.
What are the beliefs?
The first one, which is the... is the anvil, the pilot.
Hammer's the hammer. Okay. Hammer's the flyer. The anvil, just the anvil always is what they hit.
Yeah, no, they're on the ground. I always get them mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay. The hammer... says that whoever the government person is, their safety is the most important goal I have. He must live.
That's the hammer lord?
Sorry. Yeah, that's the hammer lord's, because he's the one transporting everybody there. All right.
Okay. So who's the... Okay, so it's not the person on the planet, it's who he's transporting.
The government.
Okay.
Yeah, that person's safety is the most important.
Okay.
Speculators caused the downfall of his family. I have no tolerance for their greedy ways. The next one is the government person from the Empire. Usurping this planet will catapult my career.
What is the person's position with the government?
Think of them as an emissary.
Noble, or are they a...
Think of them as a regional governor more than anything else, and essentially they're going to... Think of it as, again, the Far West. You have a regional governor out there. Not only was he governor, he was judge, jury, executioner. He was everything. And that's kind of the way he's seeing himself. I can make my footprint
like
on the universe.
Roman governor.
Right. And that's what he's going to look on himself as.
Okay.
Psychology is heretical and is not to be trusted. The person who's a speculator entrepreneur is profit above people. I will make my money any way possible. The military is my greatest roadblock. I know better how to... I need to work on that one a little bit, but he knows better how to run a business than the military does. The psychologist is expand the psychologist's influence wherever and to whomever possible. And hammer forces are suspect and our weakest link. I need to change that to anvil forces.
Why not just military?
Because there's a difference. There's a difference in the two because there's two.
The hammer hitting.
Yeah.
I mean, have you thought about... Now, I don't know if you've done this, because it looks like it's very linear, doop, down the page. And you probably have it clear in your head, but we start going through it, I start to lose the connections. Mm-hmm. Have you actually diagrammed it, where you take all the characters, and say, these guys are diametrically opposed, this guy is diametrically opposed to these two guys, this guy is diametrically opposed to these guys.
What, like the magic diagram with the colors or something? Is that what you're you're talking about.
Yeah, like a coach chart. Like a rock, paper, scissors chart. So you can see...
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've done something like that.
Yeah.
But what I've done is I said there, okay, one is opposing two, who is opposing three, who is opposing four, who is opposing five, who is opposing one. Rather than one against two of them. I didn't want them to have two, but what'll happen is that if I'm opposing you, you don't necessarily have a problem with me, but you got a problem with him.
Right.
So, and that's the way I looked at it.
Okay? Yeah, that's smart.
The last one is
everyone's pointing a gun at someone else.
Right. Reservoir Dogs. Is it like the two military people?
Mm-hmm.
Are they together or are they opposed?
It's not that they're opposed to one another.
See, that I think that would make it interesting. I don't know if it messes with your...
It's not that they're opposed to one another. What it is, the way that I look at it and the way that I kind of design the two military guys is that the hammer lord is opposed to the business guy. Okay, that's his second belief. But his number one goal is to protect the governor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the anvil lord doesn't like the governor. And that's where they can...
Okay, so the hammer lord's protecting the governor. Governor, when I think governor, I think the person on the planet who was there originally. The emissary or the ambassador, or whatever.
You can say that.
I like the idea that you put the two military people opposed to each other.
And it's not necessarily what it is is that...
Or not necessarily... You don't want them becoming a solid unit.
Right, no, by no means.
Because then you got it... It's like the psychologist. I think... Because psychologists are so powerful,
mm-hmm.
ordinarily, but they're not powerful necessarily physically, generally.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep... You want to keep everybody sort of in check. It's like, oh, well, I'm going after this guy, but I got to watch this guy.
Right.
And
see, that's the thing, is that you know who you don't like, but they haven't figured out, I guess at this point, who doesn't like them.
Right.
So the last one, which is the Anvil Lord, says, Valen or suspected Valen or their collaborators are the greatest threat and will be dealt with extreme prejudice. Military control over governmental control is the surest way to protect ourselves. And that way, he sees him better than the governor. Does that make sense? Than the ambassador.
How about without the military or without the hammer forces,
mm-hmm.
the ambassador has no way to enforce his will.
Well, see, I want it more than that. It's kind of like he's powerless without us. But see, I want it even more than that. Is that you think you're in charge, but I'm really the power behind the throne, and you need to.
Well, just call him a figurehead.
Okay,
the ambassador's a figurehead. I'll keep him alive as long as he's useful.
That's I like that.
Or why not just?
But you know, I mean, I don't know if you want to put it
straight
that.
To it. Call him a pawn.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say I will.
No, I mean, not what you'll do to him, but...
Yeah, because you don't want the player to think, oh, I got to kill him in this
right,
game.
Yeah, right.
The ambassador's for looks, and I'm about action or something.
I'm the true representative of the Empire, and the ambassador's just a
player. I like that.
Everybody needs an escape goat.
Yeah, everybody needs a escape goat.
Okay, I am the true representative of the Empire. There are no others.
Everyone else is a pawn.
I like that. Everyone else is a pawn. Okay, and then I went ahead and put down two instincts for all of them because I thought about, again, put two instincts. They can have one if they want to do that.
Let me ask a quick question, Tom. Please. How long do you get for this? Is this a
5 hours?
Is it 5 hours that you're
in? Wow.
Yeah, we'll spend
45 minutes just. Yeah, spend that half an hour. Right. Just sort of. Well, it depends on who you've got playing.
Is this for people that are sort familiar, or is this
you never know who you're going to get?
Anybody? Yeah. How many times you got to run this?
One.
Just
Really?
Yeah.
That's all you signed up for.
Yeah. I mean, I can sign up for as many times as I want.
Run it every
20 minutes?
Yeah, you should run it every 5 hours. You put a lot of work into it. And this is the one we
put yeah, yeah. Right? And I've changed it and changed it and changed it.
You weren't here, were you here when we played it?
No,
he
wasn't.
No, wasn't here. Okay.
No. Because we played it again.
Yeah, I saw the pod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you ought to make somebody a curry.
Well, and here's kind of what I thought is that I don't know if I'd make somebody a Kern necessarily. Maybe I could make, you know what, the Anvil Lord be cool as a Kern.
Yeah. Is that the one with the Veiling? The Veiling?
Yeah.
It might, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, too.
Kern Anvil Lord?
That'd be cool. Why not?
Yeah.
There's no,
sure.
There's
no, I'm liking it.
Yeah, but see, that fits their...
They're already militaristic,
the
right?
Yeah, well, that fits their belief. I mean, it fits their background with the mm-hmm. with the Veiling. With the naive and...
But as far as the instinct, the Hammer Lord is never leave the side of the emissary. Because his whole idea is that he wants to protect him at all times, and he feels like he's the only one to do that.
Well, just call it protect the emissary.
No, because, I mean, instincts are always never always...
Oh, gotcha.
If this, then that.
If this, then that, yeah. And then always have a weapon, which is pretty simple. The business rep is never take the first offer.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Well, where's? Do you have your book? What is the cost benefit? Because we talk about this all the time. Or we mm-hmm. used to where we can you can talk about
not playing it or playing.
Yes,
it.
Okay. Exactly. And that way, I mean, because that might if you can tweak it so that they can see how it works in the actual game.
Okay.
So that
yeah, because I can never remember which one benefits which, and we have to look it up every time.
Right.
The other thing is, on the always have a weapon, I'd be tempted to make it a little more specific.
Why?
Always have because
a specific weapon, because it for a one-shot, it gives it flavor.
Always have my blaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Josephine. My blaster, Josephine. I mean, something about it.
I like that.
Name it.
Always have... Stabby.
McStabberson.
Stabby McStabberson.
I'm gonna cut you! Stabby, stabby, stabby.
What's that guy say on the...
Futurama?
Futurama, yeah. What's the crazy...
You think I'm crazy?
The crazy robot.
I've seen the new season. It started up last week.
No, they had a really... I just started listening on the way over. They put out 6 or 7 podcasts that led up to it. Matt Groening.
Really?
David Cohen.
I didn't know that.
And their video podcasts of the new of the drawings of the new characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, they...
Cool.
They're bringing in new characters?
Yeah, they're bringing in new characters. They're bringing in... Bender's getting a girlfriend.
Okay. Belief. Driving a game forward with a belief. That's...
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say?
I was going to say, do you have the DVDs?
No.
The commentaries on the Futurama DVDs are some of the best and funniest.
I've got the Bender's Game
show that I've ever heard. I mean, I got every season, every episode. It's unbelievable. But I mean, John DiMaggio, who is the voice of Bender, the voice of the guy from Gears of War, does the dog in Adventure Time. He's like every voice of everything on that's popular right now. Billy West, and then Matt Groening and David X. Cohen. They all are the 4 of the funniest dudes ever. I hear them talk through every episode.
Billy West is great.
Oh, unbelievable.
Okay. And I would write this down at the bottom. No, I'm not saying focus, but I just write this down. Instinct in Burning Embers. Not playing an instinct to make your life difficult. So, for example, my point is protecting the guy. I was not protecting him. Make your life. I mean, I always wear my armor is a good one. Mm-hmm. Always have my blaster, Josephine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never leave the ship.
Right.
By the way, I don't like Josephine. Just first thing that popped into my.
I thought it was nice.
Anyway,
before my kicking.
Mine. Stop it. God.
Passive aggressive.
But let me go through the others real quick. The business rep is never take the first offer, and always negotiate by yourself. Always negotiate alone.
Yeah, for an instinct like that, though.
Yeah.
That's going to be cutting people into the game, though, isn't it?
Well, no, but it, what it does is, if you say always, it's so abstract.
How is always abstract?
No. Yeah. Always negotiate alone. I mean, it's abstract with regard to screwing yourself over to get an Artho Award. I mean, for a four-hour game.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I would think, and I'm only saying this for a con game,
mm-hmm.
if you have their belief, and if you have an instinct that you can tie to their belief, where they're screwing themselves over because it goes against a belief or something. I mean, so that it's tighter. They just mesh together better. Because when you get into instincts that don't have anything to do with their beliefs, they may not come into play, and it may happen anyway. But the tighter you can make those instincts and beliefs with the characters,
mm-hmm.
I think the better chance they'll have to get they'll be able to get all that stuff into play in a 4 or 5 hour game.
Okay, well then think about it this way: his belief, his second belief, was the military is his greatest roadblock. He knows how to run a business better than they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then make his second belief is. Always negotiate with protection.
Yes. Or
make sure you always have the last say. Or you always...
It's ignoring an instinct.
It's ignoring an instinct. And see, that's the thing, is that now that's going to put him kind of at cross purposes with... Because obviously, if he's negotiating a contract somewhere else and he's got, you know, two thugs with him, that's okay. But now, the only people who are going to protect him are... The hammer, or the anvil forces.
Or you say, but make the instinct, always negotiate. Oh, wait, because you said always negotiate alone.
Yeah, by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because I think what that means is nobody can help you negotiate. But you're mean always negotiate without bodyguards.
Well, without anybody there, so nobody can write anything down, and you can make your own terms without having to deal with anybody.
Yeah, it's not like a one-on-one type
of
thing. Yeah,
see, that's in my head what I think. Now, whoever reads this and plays it may take it an entirely different way.
Yeah.
Now, if I sit there and say, always negotiate with protection, they may sit there and think, I got to be armed every time that I go.
Always negotiate with military protection.
Yeah, but see, then that is out and out a cross-purpose with what he's got.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how could you do that?
Man. Always negotiate... with protection, but I hate the military.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, is that now that puts him to the point is...
Well, he makes a choice. I mean, it's sort of a way to generate him. Fate.
You know,
you get it either way.
Yeah.
You argue and say, well, I never carry a weapon.
There we go. That would work better.
And that way, you know, if he gets in. But I don't know if you want to engineer, and I don't engineer.
I don't want to engineer too much.
That's well, yeah, and I don't. You don't want to have a scene necessarily where you're in, because it's fun to have this stuff happen organically. But mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself and engineer a scene where
mm-mm,
he needs protection or military around him. And that's sort of right.
No, and that's not what I want to do. But that's what I'm thinking. I'll have to work on that one. The government. The emissary is never accept a connection. And be larger than everyone else.
Be larger?
Yeah,
I'll have another cake.
Well, no. What I mean is, be the biggest person in the room. Be the loudest person in the room. Be the person who has all the spotlight. And I kind of left it ambiguous to let the player... figure out what that means to them.
We'll be the largest person in the room. Yeah. I think all eyes on me. It's sort of like Jason's
always being the spotlight. Okay.
Are you going to give them things like conspicuous? And
oh, yeah. I'll give them, once I tailor these, then I'm going to go back and build the skills to justify all this stuff. The psychologist is always offer a connection. Took that one from you.
Well, I didn't. I got it from somebody else. I took it from the book, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think they had an example. I think they have an example of a psychologist, and they talk about it always. The one I liked is always what's the, you always use psychology when you meet someone.
Yeah.
Or it, make that your first opening bid,
yeah,
is use psychology to size somebody up. I always like those. Those are fun for psychologists.
Your brother played a psychologist.
And it's easy. Yeah, go figure. And it's and it's easy, though, for them to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I think if you give them an instinct, you say, this person is excellent at this, and they make their instinct always do what they're excellent at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then they can say, you know what? Not going to do it right now. You know, I'm not going to do that. Even, you know, it's like, it's begging you. It's mm-hmm. just begging you. You know, always use something that you're really good at, and then they can say, well, I'm not going to do that, and then boom, they get rewarded for it.
Okay.
I mean, that something else that you might want to try, and I don't know, you think about it, if you want to reward fate as you play.
I will. I will reward fate.
It's yeah. At the end, it's, you know.
Right. The other one was,
Reward Arthur?
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, Reward Arthur.
The other one that
okay, if we're going to get Arda.
Arda. Sorry, yeah. You're right.
Get all sassy with me, dude. No.
The other one, I'm certainly steering this when I say this, is never leave Anvil Forces alone with a senior staff member.
Jesus.
I mean, that's really
bad. That's specific.
Well, I mean, and the whole idea is that he doesn't trust the Anvil Forces because they've been infiltrated every place he's gone. That's why he does.
What's the with a senior staff member part of that?
That's anybody in anybody here?
I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah,
it seems there's got to be a better way to work that one.
Yeah, and see that's there's several that I was like,
never leave. What's the hammers?
Anvils.
Well, here's one you want to do. I mean, you can also work them against each other where the. Because you got the guy who wants to negotiate a loan,
mm-hmm.
Or Anvil, always protect our business people.
That's a good one.
So that, I mean, and play your, and I think it's because I mean, you want to play the instincts and beliefs. You know, you want to do a belief that defines the character, right? And a belief that defines their relationship with one other person,
mm-hmm.
and do the instincts the same way. So, and I would do a belief for one person, an instinct for another. You know, right. that way it sort of splits them apart. I mean, I don't think they carry equal weight, but
yeah, but you can twist it in such a way that it's not necessarily against him, but
well,
it's kind of cross purpose,
right? You want to help him. But yeah. He says, I don't want anybody in the room with me.
Right.
And if you, I've got guards, I got witnesses. He's like, right. Well, I can't leave you alone, sir.
Right.
I'm sorry, I can't leave you alone.
Yeah.
I got more orders. You know?
Yeah.
So.
All right, I will have to think on that one. The last one is the Anvil person, which is eliminate any Valent on site. And the next one is never give any ground. And again, I meant that one to be a little ambiguous. That could be the literal point in battle.
It sounds more like a belief.
Never give any ground?
It seems like...
Never retreat?
All of these instincts are...
Never surrender?
Well, I mean, never retreat's the same thing as never give any ground.
I think never retreat is... Never give any ground sounds like... I mean...
That's also no compromise.
Well...
Never compromise.
And they get fate whenever they lose a...
Yeah.
A duel of wits. But I... Harder? And see, here's the other thing. Yeah. Screw you.
Hey, if you wanted to play fate, you should have been showing up for the past 4 weeks. I don't want
to
hear it.
Yeah, you're right. I should tell my son to go learn how to pitch and catch by himself. That's
yeah, well, like he's right. Not learning it from you.
Hey. Yeah.
Chess boy.
Wait till he drops this whole ball league stuff and starts wanting to roll dice. That's where you will shine.
That's right.
And it will happen.
And Kim will kill him.
No. What are we talking? My son is.
He shines anyway.
He's doing fine on his team. Thank you very much.
Just going along with what Roy said.
It's skip the general.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you go along with Roy? What has that ever worked for anybody?
It skips a generation.
Okay. Roy's just skipped a long time.
So your dad's a great chess player?
Better than me. Same that same.
It does. My dad built top rods.
What am I now? 1 in 1,003, something like that.
Oh, you got a pretty good shot at this one that we're playing.
I don't know, man. It's tough.
Okay. No, I was gonna say I forget what we were talking about before.
Never negotiate. Right.
Every time they lose something.
Yeah. Don't. Never retreat. I mean, I don't think
it's got to be of consequence. So you don't
never compromise. But see, the thing is, you've got the scene budget. Mm-hmm. Are you playing with the scene budget?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, then you're going to have one duel of wits.
Well, we're certainly
or gonna have, one conflict.
We're going to have a conflict early on, which is another part that I wanted to talk about. Is that they're the whole idea is they're going to.
I mean, you get one,
right?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to start out on the ship.
Hold on a second. Before we get into that, are we finished with this other part?
Yeah, for right now.
Okay, so we're finished with the instincts and
yeah.
All that. Okay, now, we're starting out on the ship.
Yeah.
Beep. Go ahead.
Okay. We start out on the ship, and the whole idea is that, you know, they'll do whatever they want to. And it kind of depends upon who's playing. Because if they've never played before, then I'm going to jump straight on into maybe a scene that I have and go from there, maybe kind of give them an idea. Hopefully, we'll have at least one person who knows how to play and give them an idea of what we're dealing with. But if you don't, that's fine. But my idea is to have a conflict right off. Valen forces attack the ship from the planet. I mean, combat.
I would let them do a couple scenes before that.
Well, and that's the thing.
Get them warmed up to the idea.
Well, I mean, and that's the whole idea.
Because it's going to start strong, and then they're going to be like, "What? I got a flavor scene after this big massive."
Now, are you going to put a veil in the characters?
Not in the characters, in the figures of note. I am.
You get two conflicts, right? Yours and theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Who are your figures of note? We didn't cover those.
Yeah, Priest, and then again the planet governor. But the planet governor is going to start off being a Valen.
Jason.
I changed that.
Can you tie his arm to his side?
Stop eating your hand, Todd. Stop eating your hand.
I agree with Joe. I'd start off with something like a building scene. Something that you can quickly roll into the conflict.
I don't see
it.
No. Building, I think, takes... Building, it took me like 3 months to get the grasp of a building scene.
Why is the...
That's the hardest scene for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is the governor the Valen?
Why?
Yeah. I like the charismatic religious leader being the Valen, because that's so much more powerful.
Could be.
In your mind.
Well, it is. You got the fanatical, and that's what he's doing. He's bringing people in and converting them over, and the worms are crawling in their head and screwing up the way they think. Yes, we're still talking about a game. We're still talking about a game. God.
Hold on.
What'd you call him?
She just kind of
I was just saying, I'm on call.
So do let him do maybe. What's the flavor
scene? Color scene.
Do a color scene first.
Then do your color scene fight. First.
I don't have a problem doing a color scene.
Do your color scene. Get for any, especially if few people at the table have played. Do your color scene first,
definitely,
okay. And that way they can kind of see what's going on.
All right.
You're very good at color scenes.
Yes,
I can do a color scene. And the other thing about the conflict is that I can do a building scene. That would either steer towards the conflict, as in an attack on the ship.
I think that is the
or would let them go, whoa, what's going on down there? And maybe they have some.
Do that.
I think, well, I think you've got two figures of note.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think because that'll give you two building scenes to play with, and you could start off with one, and leading up to the attack on the ship, or leading up to, I wouldn't even. I mean, it just seems so in your face.
Visceral?
Yeah, no, not visceral, but it just seems. I think it would be nicer where you because what I like about the game. What I like about the Burning Wheel systems and the Burning Empires is everything's open and up front, and you say, "All right, this is what's going to happen," and you do something completely subversive, where you're taking over somebody on the ship instead of actually having a combat, and so they know
somebody's taken.
Or you could do a color scene where the Valen wakes up and they go, "Holy crap!" You know, and the person they have to negotiate with, the governor, they know right out of the gate, Valen. The players know, and they go, "Oh, well, we got to expose him." Well, how are you going to do that? And then you make them. Well, this is how you can do it. You got to do a building scene, you know, and work, and then you can sort of explain how they want to get to that point, and they can try to figure it all out. But before you start all that stuff, man, I would outline. For them, how this? Assuming people don't know how to play.
Yeah,
I think you'll have players who know how the system works.
Probably
at least a majority of them, because your game filled up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I would assume in burning, it's a rare commodity.
At Gen Cons,
yeah. At Origins, or
I can't believe you're only running that one time.
But
5 hours.
Yeah, one time.
It's a lot of prep, man.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, you may not have to do it, but I would prep yourself an outline, because it'd be real easy to get into explaining that stuff. And I think they've got stuff online where it's like a fact, what you need to know about. And take a Burning Wheel one and just sort of talk about it and say, all right, now talk about the scene budget and explain it and say, all right, this is the world, this is what's going on. And give them the opportunity to jump right in and start.
Well, and that's the thing. That's one of... I remember it being explained to us and swimming, going, "I don't get any of this." And then he did a color scene. You know, he said color scene's fluff. Color scene is what you want to make of it.
But you need it for hard tech.
Yeah. Or you need it. I mean, you need it for any number of things. You can do with it what you want. It's the flavor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, interstitials, you have conversations. You can bring in other people. I think I figured it out enough playing with this group, and even playing with even Burning Wheel, even though they don't have scenes per se, we know how to build, and we know how to link tests and stuff, which is essentially what a building scene is. It's just a series of link tests.
Yeah, and I think it'd be neat if you do a building scene in the beginning with your link test, or you do your building scene, and You set your obstacle, and then you blow it, and you turn to your players and say, "What happens to me?"
Yeah.
what do you think is a good result here?
Yeah.
And let them, and because I love the, you know, the buy-in and people, and the players being
able to sort of when everybody sits there and figures out how to screw yourself, they come up with some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you go, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it sounds good. I think, I think you have an idea what you want to do, but I wouldn't. If your players are ready to jump in and start doing stuff, let them.
Okay,
let them, and then you know, let them burn up their seat budget and go, "Oh, good, now it's my turn." They haven't done anything yet.
Now, as far as the itinerant priest, I thought of his beliefs are. Santonians are the noble savages of the day. They are to be protected in their habitat. I've always thought of him as, yes, he's the itinerant priest, and he comes there, but he's also has that, oh gosh, what is it, that...
He's a missionary, or...?
Well, I mean, you think of that 17th, 18th century English noble that goes to the Philippines or something and says, "Oh, look at these! They're, you know, they're pooping in a corner. They're savage, but they're noble. Look how wonderful
they're
they
pure.
Are. Yeah. They're pure. You know, they haven't been corrupted by whatever." And then half of them are Valen anyway. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. And then his second belief is, "All life is precious. Defend it to the end." You know.
Ooh, does he know?
See, I'm going to say that he does. He
knows that the governor is Valen?
Yes.
Yeah. But
he's
Valen are God's
children. Valen's are God's children, too.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
That is pretty good.
Yeah. And then the governor, the one that I have for her, is, "I have found the truth. It lives within our own society, or it lives within us." Meaning the Valen live within us.
Okay, so why are they at the planet? Why are they there?
They're at the planet for several reasons. One, it is a military strong point against the Valen incursion.
I think that needs to be belief. A belief. Okay. I think everybody, here's probably, you need, you may want.
You gotta go.
Wow. Well, good night, Jason.
All right, night, Jason.
Night, Jason.
Good night.
Night, Jason. Jason's got to go home.
Or Jason, these are yours, aren't you? No, go ahead, because I will finish them.
If there is a way to tie a belief
mm-hmm.
to either the planet...
See you,
oh, I'm behind you. Or to your figures of note.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's round it up.
All right, you want to just wind it up now?
Yeah. Yeah,
we
probably had that.
All right. I'd just like to say...
Way to just ruin it.
Yeah, way to go.
I'm a star. I'll leave. Everybody's got to go.
Well, hey, you know, it's been much nicer letting other people talk. Because for the past few weeks, it's mostly been me.
Not that one week. Slapping guys, I'm not feeling it.
It's difficult when you really have nothing to say.
And Roy's right. always got something to say. That's the problem.
You would hope. Anyways.
I was joking.
Say goodnight, guys.
Goodnight, guys.
You've been listening to Rusak Gamers, a proud sponsor of the Gen Con 2012 Evening Social.
Are you going to Gen Con and want to hang out with your favorite podcasts and friends? Come to the Gen Con 2012 Evening Social for dinner and a party on Thursday, August 16th.
Find out more details and get your tickets before they're sold out at GenConSocial.com.
Todd's game really is coming together, and I think his players are going to have a great time. If you have some input, send it to us. Our email address is roy@rusackgamers.com, and our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Now, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusak Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0 Unported License.